You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Lord, we pause to thank you for all the blessings of life. We're grateful, Lord, that your power is made perfect in our weakness, for your grace, which sustains and transforms us, and for this community of faith. Ask your blessing upon our time together right now, Lord. Uphold us in all things with your grace and unite us in your spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I got to give Gil Cracky credit for coming up with this class. I don't know if this has been done before, if it's a repeat, or if he just came up with it for the first time, but the idea of getting a number of folks to share their favorite verse. And as Craig pointed out in his sermon at 7:30, which was extraordinary, and if you missed it, you can go online and listen to it. Super, super good. Somewhat of a recap of the Olympics, which was fun, but it tied back nicely. As he referenced, your favorite verse. It's like your favorite hymn. I mean, it's hard. And sometimes there's a number of those, and I'm in the same camp. But this would be the one that I would ultimately always gravitate back toward. From 2 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians for those who prefer to refer. Is it 2 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians? If it's 2 Corinthians, raise your hand. 2 Corinthians, yeah. 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Just saying. Yeah, our Canadian friend, just trying to make him feel at home. 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. This is a different, I think this might be the NIV. For my power is made perfect in weakness, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. My daughter, my eldest, who just turned 28, made this for me a number of years ago. Knowing that was my favorite verse, isn't that a neat gift to give your preacher dad, right? I just love that. That's in my office. And so, again, the handout has come around, and you can see that verse is in red. And so, just briefly, again, we got limited time, and I really want to share. I'm working toward a video. And it's a 5-minute video, and I hope that you'll just engage that. It's a bit much of time dedicated to this video, but it's really an extraordinary song, and it's got the words put up there. And I'm just hoping that we can create an atmosphere in the next 30 minutes or so where that'll be meaningful for you. So at any rate, a lot of ground to cover. This class was published as being 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. Real quickly, we'll look at those opening verses in the 12th chapter. I must go on boasting, Paul says, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. That sounds like Paul, doesn't it? But I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. Again, just contextually, just trying to set this up. This is what precedes verse 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh. Again, I'll just say it quickly. First verse 7 verses of some scholarly speculation about what is all of that about. We're not going to dive into that today. It's a worthwhile conversation to have. But again, we're trying to get it at this verse and the truth behind this verse. which is a substantial truth in our Christian faith, that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. So Paul says, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Again, a verse that has been near and dear to my heart. What I hope to do today is to share some of why that's been the case for me. I've shared Pilgrims on the Journey. I've shared some of my testimony. This will be a little bit more of that. Again, just connecting back why this scripture and the truth behind it is so important to me in my Christian faith. Paul Zoll preached on this verse several weeks ago now. I commend that to you. It's worth going back and going on the website and finding it. So the last time he preached, again, several weeks ago, this was the lectionary, this was the verse assigned in the lectionary, and of course did a great job laying this out, and he really focused in on this truth, that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. And as Paul pointed out then, I will reiterate that also, like, we don't really understand all the dynamics perfectly of what's going on in these revelations that are being given in the first seven verses. We also don't know exactly what this thorn is. He doesn't tell us specifically what this is all about. But as Paul pointed out, whatever that was for Paul, it's not even the important thing. It's that there was something that was bringing him to his knees. There was something from which that it was causing him enough heartache and hurt to where he was pleading with the Lord to have it removed. So, again, not even so important exactly what that was for him, but the question is, what is that, or what might that be for you? Has there been something in your life, if you think about your Christian faith up until this point, maybe something you're dealing with right now, that you've pleaded with the Lord about, and it's still there? It could be a wayward child. It could be a bad diagnosis that you've been praying that you'd get something different. It could be any number of things, couldn't it? And you're pleading with the Lord. It's something that's a struggle. It's something that's either causing heartache or suffering of some kind. Just naming that, putting a finger on it, because this is where Paul is, and this is what he discovers, is that it's in the midst of his desire to have the Lord take that away from him, that God does something even better than that. So that's what we're talking about today. God's power being made perfect in our weakness, about arriving at that place where there's a kind of a surrender. Like I once heard before, if you're looking for God's address, it's at the end of your rope. I like that. So because I wanted to make this a little bit personal. Oh, sorry. I jumped the gun. Now you know what the video is. Okay, hold that thought. This is a video. It's a little bit different from that one. This one is from a vintage 1994. This is our wedding. I should have told you that I was going to do this, but I didn't. Surprise! I'm trying to make, you can't see it very well. It's 30 years old. I've been meaning to get this put on a flash drive for all this time, and I finally have. But I had these four girls in my youth group at North Carolina State in Raleigh, and Frank came over to Winston-Salem, St. Paul's, which is where this wedding took place, April 4th, or April 9th, 1994, sorry, 4994. And they sang the song, but again, just a little window into what we chose to have at our wedding, this song. And Frank gave the homily, and he referenced it, but let me just... I think it's all right.
You want to enlarge the screen?
Yeah. I had to, Lisa, to hear Frank's voice to. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let the ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. And he was able to pull that into the homily, still one of the better homilies that I've heard for a wedding. No surprise there. But it's been something that's always been. I've been mindful of that. God's power being made perfect in our weakness. And so I'll just share several things about my journey of faith and just realities for me that over the course of my life that have made this personal connection to, the truth behind this verse. I may have mentioned this in a sermon I have in the past. When I was growing up, I had this birthmark on this entire side of my head that has the hair white, which isn't quite as big of a deal today as it was back then. But I had a dark, dark set of hair everywhere except for this entire half of my head. And if you can imagine, that wasn't easy growing up. Kids can be cruel. And so from an early age, that was like a real thing, like just going to the pool, like things that wouldn't be like a big deal for a lot of people. That was a big deal. And kids are cruel, and I got picked on. And so, you know, we try to comb it over or whatever, but, you know, when you go to the pool, that just doesn't work so well. I mentioned that because that was like an important part of who I was in my insecurities and as a young child. And I remember back, one of my earlier memories is listening to Jesus Christ Superstar. I think it had just probably come out in the 70s. And my parents had the album. And I just remember being alone, kind of laid out on the living room floor, listening to that and getting to the crucifixion. And just, again, don't remember all the details of exactly what that meant for me back then at that age, maybe 9 or 10, but just know that it was real and it was meaningful for me, that what was going on was I was connecting with it. Like, and I was like weeping at what was happening with the crucifixion, the suffering, for whatever reason at that age that I was able to connect with that. And so one of my earlier childhood memories, and literally felt in the midst of that, the presence of the Lord and kind of being held, because there was, again, like with so many of us, there was a lot that I was dealing with as a young person with my insecurities, trying to navigate all that. And that was just a really important and meaningful part of my faith journey. So fast forward a little bit, we moved to North Carolina. I guess I was probably 12. When I was 13, my parents got divorced, and both got married pretty quickly. And that was another thing in my life that, again, source of insecurity, source of confusion, anger, frustration, source of suffering. It was a significant thing. But I mention those things only to say that for whatever reason, call it just being chosen, just call it the Lord's call on my life, as Dean Pinter preached about. I commend that sermon to you as well in the assembly hall a little bit earlier. Looking back, I can see that God's hand has been on my life, and that these insecurities, these places of weakness. I think when we get to that place of a crossroads of sorts, humanity in general, you specifically, when you get to that crossroads, I think we go one of two ways. People typically, when you get to that crossroads of life where there's suffering, a human heartache, people tend to either turn away from God and go in the other direction, or people move and turn toward God. Again, probably a spectrum, probably some places in between there, but I think that that's the truth, that when, for a lot of people, when you get to that crossroads, you know, some people will just disappear, fall off the community of faith radar, they go in this other direction. There's some kind of resentment, anger, you know, how could God let this happen? You fill in the blank, but they're not moving closer toward God. And then again, for whatever reason, there are those that you get to that place and there's like, well, it's like they said in John's gospel, like, well, Jesus said, do you two wish to go away? And they're like, well, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And so just to say, throughout my life, I have just, when I get to those places that bring me to my knees, those places of hurt and heartache and suffering, I tend to gravitate toward the Lord. Was really fortunate to have things pop into my life like that Jesus Christ Superstar moment. It was Episcopal Youth Community, EYC Youth Group. When I was growing up, my older brothers were going with my mom shortly after the divorce. I was like a tag along. I was too young to be there, but they were all there, so that's where I was. And then confirmation. And then in Young Life, again, as I've shared, helped to connect some real dots of putting things together that were always there in the liturgy of growing up. And I'd gone through a good confirmation class. Again, had always sensed a closeness to God, and God's in my life and present in the church and all of those things. But Young Life helped to make that more personal. But a relationship with Jesus that became more real in high school. But So all of those things. And again, not to go off the deep end because I don't have time to, and happy to discuss more, but somewhat tangentially to all of this brokenness that I had mentioned earlier and heartache and struggle from early childhood birthmark stuff to a 13 to a parental divorce and all that, ended up in a treatment center and had started a journey of recovery from addiction. And but I mentioned that because that was a whole different level of surrender. That was a specific like more than just like hurt and heartache. This is like I was at a crossroads where like life just was not going to work if I didn't really give up and surrender. So a whole different kind of understanding of surrender. And if you look on the, if you flip your page over, so talking about different kinds of surrender, but you know, from Romans 7, you're familiar with this dynamic that Paul is navigating of like this tension between this battle for the Christian of appetite and will and what the body is drawn to do and what the converted heart and the mind of the believer is trying to do. And it's like there's this tension in the life of the believer, right? And it's this bondage of the will. And it's, you know, I find it a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand, for I delight in the law of the God of my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind. You know, I can do what I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate. That scripture really became real for me, not so much with the divorce, the birthmark, but with the whole surrender and the addiction, the bondage there, a whole different level of the bondage of the will. And I think that you know, the reformers, in most of the reformers, what you'll see is a person who is seeking after God, seeking after a holiness of life, and getting to a point where they realize that they just can't. Like, there's just not enough. They can't bridge the gap. It's this whole thing of the difference between our justification in Christ and our sanctification that comes via the Holy Spirit of God. And that the one leads into the other. Our justification in Christ leads to a transformation of life. That's sanctification. But so many people start with the latter. They start trying to get their act together so to get right with God. They start with holiness of life. I'm just going to get my act together so that I can be good enough to be right with God. It's just flip-flopped, right? So, again, that's a whole nother class. That's several classes. That's a whole semester or two. It's a lot. But it's just to say that when you get to a place where of surrender and of the grace and the acceptance and the forgiveness of Almighty God, that kind of that justification before the throne of grace, that leads into a transformation of life. And so, yeah, so there I was in 7 days before my 21st birthday, that kind of surrender being held and uplifted by the Holy Spirit of God in a way that I haven't felt since. And it's just it's just God's power. There's no other way to say it. It's just God's power being made perfect in our weakness. It's when we get to the end of our rope. It's when we just give up. And again, that can be any number of things. Again, for a lot of the reformers, they were pursuing. It wasn't, I mean, for a lot of people, you know, it was something other. They were just very wayward, and they had this, their heart strangely warmed, and they were brought to faith in Christ, and that was their reality. But for so many folks, It's after being a very religious person that they get to this point of realizing that it's not what we do, it's what Christ has done for us. And that's really the starting point for a real transformation in life. And so then these verses from Matthew's gospel come to life for us. Well, first, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, as Dean pointed out in his sermon down in the assembly hall, you know, whenever you see therefore, stop and ask yourself, what is that there for? And it's everything that precedes it. Paul has laid out an argument for justification by faith in Christ preceding chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It starts there. It starts with that. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then he says this, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And the Beatitudes, this is what this means. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? To be poor in spirit. It's I can't get there on my own. I'm at this point of I'm coming up short. Those who are poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, kind of a really the theme verse of the Advent on the back of every worship bulletin: come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's everyone who comes in under the weight of the law of trying to get right before God through their own religious merit and do-gooding. And that's also people that come in under shadow of the brokenness of just the grief and heartache that comes from a fallen world. If it's the report coming back from the doctor unfavorable, if it's the child that just won't get on the right track, you know, you fill in the blank, come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So I wanted to include those scriptures. They're all kind of interrelated. We're talking about the heart of the gospel, I believe, in this verse. That God's power is made perfect in our weakness. It's ultimately, we're talking about the heart of this parish church. That it isn't through our own merit or through what we do, but it's through what Christ has done for us. And that's the starting point for a transformed life. And so, I've got this 5-minute video. Those of you who were around in 1985 and saw Live Aid. Know that this song by U2 was really the one that kind of launched them, and of course their launch is a big deal. I mean, U2 is a big deal, and in 1985 they were scheduled. I think Unforgettable Fire had just come out, to do two or three songs off of that were promising to be hits, and they ended up going with this song Bad, and those of you that have heard it, it'll resonate. It's hauntingly just beautiful, it'll pull you in. But in the midst of hearing that and getting pulled into the music, some of which that you might have heard before and be familiar with, it's got the verses. I encourage you just to think about in your own life today, where are those places where you're at the end of your rope? Because again, that's God's address, and my hope and prayer for you is that this video. Let me see if I can open this up. I'm going to rewind it just a hair. And then that'll conclude our class. So here we go. U2. What did you say, Gil? The song is bad. The drug is heroin and the song is bad. It's titled Bad. Yeah. Let me get rid of Frank up here preaching the gospel at my wedding. Is that loud enough?
Thank you.
Yeah, again, I think he was slated to sing some different songs, but he ended up doing that for about 12 minutes. I don't know, like 60 to 80,000 people at Wembley Stadium and JFK, 1.5 billion people watching around the world at a time in the 80s when the world was just beginning to get smaller and people were saying, hey, look, there's people in Ethiopia that are starving. We can do something about that. Like this whole, he was given this moment, his band was launching, and he's given this moment, and he's in that, and that's what he does. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.